Reading this morning comes from two places. The first place is going to be 1 Samuel 3, and after that we will be looking at Hebrews 11. But the first scripture reading comes from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Let us hear the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, an infallible word. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by my sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Now if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll be reading verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." As a congregation, we have been going through the halls of faith and working our way through the book of Hebrews. And the name we are on is the last name that is on the list, the name of Samuel. The Hebrews are having trouble putting their faith in the new revelation that God has given them. They are having trouble trusting in Christ as the new Savior, as the new prophet, priest, and king, the one who came to save this world. Jesus, their Savior, has come. He has died on the cross, as we looked at in the catechism today. He has humbled himself. He has been exalted. He has been proclaimed the Lord of this world. And the Hebrews have been called to serve this Christ, this one who brings the new revelation from God. And in this call to serve Christ, they've been undergoing persecution. They have been suffering loss of their things, their property, things that they have, their possessions. This call to serve Christ and obey this new form of revelation is a tough call. It is a call to serve. And so it is no wonder then that we find the name of Samuel included in the halls of faith. Because the faith of Samuel is the faith of a child. The faith of Samuel is a faith to serve. The faith of Samuel is a faith of Samuel's willingness to be a servant, of his responding to God's call and saying, "Here I am, Lord, I will do whatever you call me to do." Samuel also is a figure who appears in the Bible in a period of transition. His life spans from the Judges, the end of the period of the Judges, to where at the end of his life he anoints King Saul and later on King David. He ministers in the time of transition between the period of the Judges and the period of the kings. Samuel, with his childlike faith, is also one who comes from God, who ministers in this period of transition. Now, there are several places in the Bible, in the book of Samuel, in which Samuel demonstrates his faith. But this morning, we are going to look specifically at the beginning of his faith, 1 Samuel 3, because the beginning of his faith, in which it starts and begins to grow through the rest of his life, sets the foundation for his faith throughout his entire life. Take a look again at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and first notice the structure of our text. The first three verses tells us the life situation of what is going on in Israel. There is a problem. The word of God is rare. The last three verses of our text, 19 through 21 and into 4 verse 1, tells us what the Lord has done about this problem that was in Israel. The problem is that the word of the Lord is rare in Israel. And at the end of the chapter, we read that God has called up Samuel, and Samuel becomes a prophet of the Lord, whom the people of Israel recognize as one who brings to them the word of God. Now, in between this beginning three verses and the concluding three verses, we have what happened to Samuel. At the beginning, Samuel is just a boy. At the end, Samuel is a prophet. What happened in between? Samuel is called by God to be a prophet. Well, let's take a look at these things. As Samuel lives his life, as Samuel is transformed, let's take a look at these things just a little bit more closely. Verse 1, it tells us that the boy Samuel was ministering before the Lord under Eli. Samuel at this point in his life is only a young boy, yet he already is ministering before the Lord under the supervision of Eli the priest. Eli is the priest. Samuel's mother, Hannah, has dedicated him there at the temple, and now Samuel is ministering, it says, before the Lord under Eli. And then look how the verse ends. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. There is no greater judgment to a people of God than to have the word of the Lord become rare. If God withholds his word from a people, God is judging those people. During the end of the period of the judges, Israel had become very rebellious. They were worshiping other gods, and the word of the Lord has become rare in the country. And so, in verse 2, one night, Eli, who's the priest, whose eyes, it says, were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Eli is the priest of God. He is the one who is going to bring the word of God to God's people. But notice what's wrong with Eli. His eyes, his being able to see, are becoming weak. The weakness of Eli's eyes, the priest, the one who is to bring the word of God to Israel, is a picture of the weakness of the word of God coming to Israel. If Eli cannot see, he is failing to see, not only physically, but he's failing to see and understand the word of the Lord as it is coming to Israel. It is becoming weak. And now verse 3 tells us that not only was Eli's eyes weak, but it says the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. This lamp of God, which was supposed to burn continually in the temple, in the tabernacle, which represented that God's presence was there, which represented hope and a light for Israel, it says that the lamp of God, it seems, was almost going out. It had not yet gone out. There was still a flicker of hope in Israel, a flicker of God's presence, a flicker of God's word. And there lies Samuel in that temple where God's presence was by the ark. Well, then the Lord calls, "Samuel." Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So great is the famine of the word of God, so rare is the word of God in Israel, that when Samuel hears the Lord's voice, he thinks it's the voice of Eli. Now why does Samuel not recognize this voice? Well, the author tells us in verse 7, doesn't he? "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Samuel did not recognize the word of God because Samuel had not had the Lord open his heart. It had not yet been revealed to him. He did not fully know the Lord. Now, this verse is a direct contrast to some other people who were in a previous chapter. And those people are Eli's sons. If you turn back the page to 1 Samuel 2, look at verse 12. It is the description of Eli's sons. "Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord." Most of your translations have a better correct understanding, which is, "They did not know the Lord." Now here you see the two same Hebrew words, "they did not know the Lord." Only there is a difference between the sons of Eli and this son Samuel. Eli's sons are wicked. Eli's sons do not obey their father. Eli's sons do not help with the worship of God in the temple, helping their father Eli become the priest. Eli's sons are rebellious. But as we have learned about Samuel, we notice something different. When Samuel doesn't know the Lord, it says, we read that he was obedient. In fact, so obedient is Samuel that two times God calls him, two times he runs to Eli, two times Eli tells him to go back and lay down, and the text tells us exactly that Samuel went back to lay down. Samuel, as we learned in verse 1, is ministering before the Lord under Eli. Samuel is a boy who knows obedience, only his obedience is to Eli. His obedience is not yet at this point to the Lord. You can see the contrast between the two children mentioned in these two chapters. The two sons of Eli are disobedient, they don't obey their father, they have no love for the Lord, and they are wicked. Because, as it adds, they did not know the Lord. Here is a child raised by Hannah, a covenant child who has been ministering in the temple, and he is obedient, and he doesn't know the Lord because God has not revealed him yet, but already at an early stage, we read about his obedience. We read that Samuel is a boy in the early stage of his life, of his faith, of his knowing God. And so our text goes on. Now it says in verse 8, "The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy." So begins our transition in our text. At the beginning of the chapter, God is revealing himself to the priest, Eli, who ministers in Israel. Now Eli is realizing in the calling of Samuel that God is not revealing himself to Eli anymore. God is beginning to call the boy Samuel. So Eli, in verse 9, tells Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went to lay down in his place. Notice again the words in our text, which indicate to us that a transition is going on from Eli to Samuel's place in Israel. In verse 2, we read at the end that Eli is lying down in his place. Now Eli tells Samuel to lay down in his place. Samuel is becoming the replacement for Eli. And so in verse 10, the Lord comes and he stood there calling as at other times. The Lord actually comes and he stands there calling right there where Samuel is. And like other times, he calls, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel responds to the Lord and he says, "Lord, speak. I haven't known you yet. You haven't revealed yourself to me yet, but I am your servant and I am listening." And so the Lord reveals himself to Samuel. "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." God has now revealed himself to this young boy. And you notice the contrast again that the text is telling us between the sons. There are sons who have made themselves contemptible, and Eli who has failed to restrain them. There is the boy Samuel who has been obedient and is willing to serve no matter what that service may be. And so in verse 15, Samuel lays down until morning and he opens the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." You notice what's happening. At the beginning in the passage, Eli is the one who is receiving the word of the Lord. Eli is giving Samuel instructions. After the transition takes place, Eli now is coming to Samuel. He is asking the boy what God's instructions are. Samuel is now the prophet. Samuel is now the servant of the Lord, the one who now God is revealing himself to. Eli, the priest, is asking Samuel, the boy, what God is saying. And so Samuel, faithful Samuel, tells Eli everything, and the text is clear, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." Samuel is obedient. Samuel does, he hides nothing. If there was any time that Samuel would be afraid to hide something, it would be here. But Samuel faithfully delivers the word of God to Eli, even though the message is not very nice. And we know that Samuel continues to be faithful. This is the beginning of his life. This is the beginning of his faith. And we see already as a young boy, he is a faithful man. He is obedient to God, and he is willing to serve. And as we read the conclusion of the chapter, we read that Samuel continues to grow up. Samuel, as he grows up, continues to serve. None of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. The faith of Samuel is a faith which trusts in God's calling. God is sovereignly revealing himself to Samuel, and Samuel is saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel is ready to serve at all costs. Now, some people would say, well, maybe Samuel here is just doing what Eli is telling him. He is only a young boy. Eli tells him what to say, and Samuel automatically does what Eli says. There's no faith here in this passage. He's just a young boy obeying an old man. But again, notice the contrast our author has given us. The sons of Eli are disobedient. They do not do what their father says. They do not obey their father and God as they tried to serve God in the temple and failed so miserably. But here we have Samuel, even as a young boy, saying in faith, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel starts out his life as a faithful young boy, obedient to the authorities God has given him, Eli, faithfully ministering to God there in the temple, and as God reveals himself to him, as God calls him, Samuel is ready to serve, and he continues to serve all of his life. The faith of Samuel is the faith of a servant. The faith of Samuel is the faith of someone who is ready to serve. The Hebrews are in a period of transition. They have come from the end of the Old Testament, and now God has given them a new Savior. He has given them the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come, who has died on the cross, who has served them, who has come in His death and resurrection to give them hope, to give them a future. They are having trouble trusting in this new Savior in this time of transition. They are called to have the faith of Samuel. As they look at Samuel's faith, Samuel is willing to serve. Samuel is willing to have childlike faith. The Lord has not revealed himself to him yet, but when God calls him, he says as a child, "Lord, speak. I am your servant. I am listening and will do whatever you want." The Hebrews were struggling with their faith, whether to trust God, because serving Christ means that we have to suffer as we serve Him. They didn't always like what God was calling them through Christ to do. Now they see the name of Samuel, and they look at his faith, and they see a young boy who is obedient, a boy with childlike faith who is willing to serve God no matter what. God is calling us to have the faith of Samuel. The faith of Samuel is a faith in which God has revealed himself to us, as he has through his son Jesus Christ. And it is a faith which says to the Lord when he speaks to us, when he comes to us in Christ and says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." How do you pray when God reveals himself to you? Do you have the childlike faith of Samuel, which is willing to serve no matter what that serving may be? How often don't we find things that we know God is calling us to? We look at our life situation and we see things, and how often don't we not want to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We would rather do it another way. We wish God had another plan for our life or would take us in a different direction. But God is working in our lives. He is directing us, and we are called to respond with Samuel's faith. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And look at the task that God gave Samuel to do. Go. He revealed to Samuel what was going to happen to his mentor, Eli. I'm sure Samuel didn't want to tell Eli what, in fact, the text even tells us, Samuel didn't want to tell Eli what was going to happen to his family. Eli was his friend. Eli is the one who was teaching him. He was serving Eli in the temple. Sometimes when God calls us to be a servant, he calls us to do things that maybe we don't enjoy. Sometimes he calls us to live in a place or to suffer in a certain place in which it is not fun, in which God is calling us to serve our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrews had no right to say to God, "Lord, we don't want to do this. Things are too tough. We're thinking about giving up the faith." Just as we have no right to answer any different than the answer of Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When you read your Bible, when you're reading your Bible and you're having your devotions, do you pray, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," before you start reading? Or are you afraid to pray that way? Some people are. But Samuel's obedience flows out of his faith. Faith that God knows what is best. Faith that God is leading him. Faith that God will direct his life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the faith of Samuel, a faith which is childlike, yet it is strong. It is a faith which goes beyond this present world, faith in which Samuel did not know where you were leading him or how you were directing him, yet he had faith that you knew what is best and that you would lead him. And Lord, he had faith in which he was a servant. Lord, help us to have that kind of faith. Help us to trust in you. Help us to live our lives as servants and to be willing to serve. Help us, Lord, to have the childlike faith of Samuel, to say to you when we read your word and when we pray to you, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And help us, Lord, through our obedience, through our lives, to live out that faith and to trust and obey. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.